Leviticus chapter 10. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. We've been here before. Let me put a marker there. But I want to remind you of something in this chapter that's very important that many people miss in their worship service. And we're here teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ and His words and how to worship Him in a proper fashion. Our pastor and this church is very adamant about how we worship. God is not fooling around. And we're going to take you to some passages this morning because of what's on the board behind me that helps you understand how God feels about these kinds of things. Burning His Word. Matter of fact, do you know how often the word burning, burnt, burned occurs in the Scriptures? Almost 700 times. And some of them are quite caustic. But in Leviticus chapter 10, if you're there with me now, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 10, very first verse, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. You see, there was a very specific way that God commanded that He be worshipped. And the major way is to be obedient to His words. Anybody know what Nadab means in the underlying word? Anybody remember?
Liberal.
Anybody remember what Abihu means? That's right. Worship. Nadab and Abihu were worshiping in a liberal fashion. And God hated it. And as a result of that, He killed them. Fire came down out of heaven and consumed them. Look at verse 2. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. The Lord is not playing around with what He wants us to do. So I wanted to point that out to you this morning to begin with. The world has just completely abandoned the Scripture and God's commandments. And I think the world has forgotten that. By the way, I hope you were encouraged by last Sunday's lesson. I've thought about it a lot in the last week and rejoice that I'll see my mother and my dad again, my preacher brother, who was a Presbyterian preacher, but I forgiving. Sometimes I want to forget him, but I forgave him. His wife is still alive. She's written some books, by the way, that are on our website. Anyway, that's quite disturbing, isn't it? Ed, let's see. Maybe it's dead. Shouldn't be, should it? Laser works. Okay, there we go. The burning, some thoughts of American cities allowed as a distraction. Why? I wanted to share that with you this morning. One of our authors, again, I'm talking a lot about top this morning. One of our authors, Dr. Lively, is president of a Bible college. He wrote an article a few months ago explaining why he thought they were burning our cities. And I thought it was very insightful. Many, many of our cities and states are broke. Are you aware of that?
Amen.
Cities are completely broke. managed by a certain political group. Because of that, one of the things they had to do was take off any observation of what was going on in their states or in their cities. They were completely broke. Their pension funds had not been funded. Therefore, they allowed the riots to take place to take away the distraction of them being broke, and then were appealing to the federal government to fund them billions and billions of dollars. That's one of the major reasons we're seeing a lot of the riots in our country. Destruction of capitalism and democracy, of course, is the other reason, because our colleges and universities have taught progressivism. And the authors of the books which promote that attack on capitalism, the burning some thoughts of Bibles, mainly they don't believe in God. They flat teach in our universities these days, don't believe in God. It's foolishness, they think. Be honest with you, many years ago, I had a pastor in Florida who made a trip on an airplane. He happened to sit next to a Methodist minister, and they started talking about Jesus and the Bible. And that Methodist minister said, "Oh, you don't believe Jesus was God anymore, do you?" Having graduated from a Methodist seminary. So, destruction of Bibles, they don't believe in God. Don't or can't believe the Bible is the Word of God. So they have no respect for it and no honor of it.
Makes them guilty if they believe it.
That's right. They feel guilty if they believe it. There are lots and lots of... Well, I'm not going to say it. Anyway, they don't believe the Bible or the Word of God. And then the last thing I want to mention about burnings is the burnings and some thoughts of Jeremiah's scroll. How many of you know of the burning of Jeremiah's scroll? Okay, the pastor does. And when I saw them burning the Bibles, and by the way, I blew it up. I don't know whether I have a picture of that or not. Ed is not working, brother, so you'll have to help me out here. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. Okay. If you look right here, I blew that up very large to make sure. Pastor Jack asked me about this before Sunday school. Do you think that was just height? Were they just throwing in books and then calling it Bibles, in other words? Well, I blew it up. That book right there says Bible on it. Now, I don't know whether it's an NIV, NASB, King James Bible. Doesn't matter. Even those books contain the Word of God, and you're burning what some people think is the full, complete Word of God. So it doesn't matter. It's the implication of what they were doing. Okay? Ed, I'm going to take this to you, and I'll let you monkey with it. Maybe there's something you can figure out. Thank you, brother. So let's talk about then. Most of you don't recall or remember, but that's the first thing that came to my mind was the burning of Jeremiah's scroll. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 37. Jeremiah. Well, let's make it 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. And we're going to read about the burning of Jeremiah's scroll and what God thought of that. So if you're in Jeremiah chapter 36, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Hoshea, king of Judah, and Josiah is fine if you want to pronounce it that way, and I'll try to stick to the English pronunciation rather than the Hebrew. The son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, let me stop there for a minute. Let me tell you a little bit about Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was the son of Josiah. Jehoiakim was evil in the sight of the Lord. Josiah became king at the age of 8. Matter of fact, maybe, well, just take my word for it if you would. But Josiah became king of king of Israel at the age of 8. He was the son of Amon, another king of Israel. There were a series of kings which were evil in the sight of the Lord. Excuse me this morning. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Josiah was a good king. It tells us in the scripture that Josiah's priests in Israel at that time, he sent them to the temple, Solomon's temple, which was built at that time, to repair the temple, because Israel had backslidden so far that they had let the temple just fall apart. The doors were broken down. Everything was broken down. They didn't care. They hadn't even looked at the scrolls in the temple. So Josiah, under some godly priests and their advice, sent men down to the temple to repair it, collect money to repair it, and do those sorts of things. In that process, they found the book of the law. Whoa! Israel didn't even know the book of the law existed anymore. So they brought it to Josiah, a good king, and they read it together. They were so disturbed, they rent their clothes, tore their clothes, wept because of what the book said. And concerning, how many remember Ebal and Gerizim? The mountains Ebal and Gerizim? You remember when they crossed the Jordan, the Lord told the nation Israel, take half of Israel, put them on Mount Gerizim, and the other half put them on Mount Ebal, and on Mount Gerizim they're going to read the blessings of the Lord. And on Mount Ebal, you're going to read the curses of the law, of God's curses, if they didn't obey the teachings, the law, the teachings of God. So guess what they had done all these years? They hadn't obeyed. Didn't even know the books existed. So they subsequently, you think you got it, Ed? Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. So, they got the scroll, the book of the law, and they read it and were just devastated to find out that they had not been obeying the teachings in the law and the curses that were going to come on, subsequently, the nation Israel. So that's where we are in the process. Josiah, therefore, cleaned up the kingdom. He tore down the high places. He restored Passover. He did all these things that were taught in the book of the law. As a result of that, Josiah was blessed, yet, in spite of that, Josiah was killed by Pharaoh. You see, the rain falls on the wicked as well as the righteous. And we forget that sometimes. Sometimes we think, Well, I've been good. Matter of fact, most people think this in their lives, and let me just throw this out to you. Oh, yeah, I've been wrong, but I've been right, therefore I'm good. And we'll talk about that if we get to it this morning, too. That is absolutely wrong in the eyes of God. Get that out of your mind, that if I do right, I'm okay. That is absolutely a false teaching of the world. What God says, there's only one way to be righteous, and that's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, who gave Himself on that cross. He was declared righteous and is called righteous in the Bible. And it says only by imputation, only by declaring you righteous because you have faith. And somebody asked me last week what faith was. And I told them immediately, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You remember that substance there means the assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or proof of things not seen. And then the person said, well, that means believe. And there is hope for there is actually believe. But let me add something else, too, to that. It's not just believing. And I meant to have a chair up here and get one out of the choir loft there and set it here. And many of you have seen that. If you're going to sit in that chair, you've got to have faith in the chair. You know, that's an illustration that's been used in Sunday schools since what, Wee High? You must trust that chair. Similarly, with God, you must believe Him with your entire heart. Remember heart, soul, and spirit, the inner being, with your whole heart, enough to trust Him, period. Even if He kills you like He did Josiah with Pharaoh, even though he'd been a good king, discovered the book, did everything right, even though you may get COVID, just believe and trust Him. Because He knows what's best for all of us. Now let's go on reading. I had to throw all that in. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 2. Take thee a roll, a book, and write therein what? All. And what does all mean? All. We hear that often, don't we? All the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah. So we're talking about the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes, right? Here, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Hoshea, Josiah, even into this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them. Whoa! Mount Ebal, all the curses that I purpose to do unto them. Why? Because they did not live by my law, my teachings, that they may return every man from his evil way. See, God is always a gracious and merciful God. We all know that here. We know what grace means. I've given you those definitions time and time again. And told you what Pastor Baker believed when he was here and showed you the two dogs, the pit bulls, okay, about grace. Every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. And now you know what iniquity is. So when you read that, you think every man turning to his own way. That's iniquity. And their sin. Sin against what? What is sin? Most people don't even know what sin is, really. If I asked you to define sin, could you write it out according to the Scriptures? Do you know where even to find a definition of sin in the Scripture? Well, I hope you do, but you can read John 16 sometime, and you'll find there what it says. Then Jeremiah, Haremiah, called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. Do you remember I gave to Dr. Brown that roll? That was the book of Leviticus, by the way, that had that verse, or those verses we read out of Leviticus 10 this morning in Hebrew. You remember that? That's like taking that roll, scroll, and burning it. And you'll see that here shortly. But anyway, write all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. The Lord told Jeremiah to do that. And Baruch was his amanuensis. That means his secretary. His secretary was Baruch, who wrote the words down. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. They had confined Jeremiah to the courtyard of the temple. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou, verse 6 of chapter 36 in Jeremiah, therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. What in the world is the fasting day? Would anybody have any idea? When Israel gathered together and there was a great fast, the Day of Atonement. That's the day the priest went into the temple, into the Holy of Holies. They tied a rope around his leg and some bells on him so that if the Lord killed him because he was not precise in the way that he presented the blood on the mercy seat, the hilostron of the Ark of the Covenant, God would kill him. Just like he did Uriah. Remember, with the put out his hand and steadied the Ark of the Covenant, God killed him. God is not playing around. He's not playing around then. He's not playing around now. And that's what so many people forget. His commandments and his teachings. He's not playing around. Verse number 6. Therefore go thou, and read the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. They gathered, as you remember, the three feasts they were required to go in Israel was the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and also they all came, of course, for the Feast of Trumpets, and then the Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles following that. Do you know when that occurred? And that's why a lot of us look for the time that the Lord will come back at a certain time of the year. Because God seems to have patterns that He uses throughout the Scripture. It's the month of Tishrei. What is Tishrei? September, October, according to the Hebrew calendar. So sometime around September, October, most of us, not this year, we don't know when, that the rapture will occur on that Day of Atonement when the trumpets are going to blow. And you know what it says, of course, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. So the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, when we will be dwelling with the Lord, and we'll get raptured out of here and living in the New Jerusalem. Put all that together, okay? This is what we're talking about here. But God's upset. I'll be perfectly honest with you. He's upset about the burning of His words. And they think they're going to get away with it. Turn to Ecclesiastes if you want. I always come back to this verse. right after Proverbs, of course. I had to review that myself. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And you listen carefully now to what this verse says. Every time I read the book of Ecclesiastes, I stop with this verse and pray for a little while. Because of the mistakes, sin that I've made in my life. But anyway, here it goes. Chapter 8 of Ecclesiastes, verse number 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. That's why we keep seeing things going on and on and on and getting worse, because it wasn't executed immediately. It's coming. And those that burn those Bibles, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes because of what God thinks about His words. Do you remember the verse in Psalms 138, verse 2? And David says, I will worship towards thy holy temple because thou hast... Well, let me read it. I want to give you the exact word. Psalm 138, if you want to turn there. Maybe if you don't have it marked, you should have it marked. Magnified, that's the word. Thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's what he thinks about his word. And them to disgrace it the way they have, and judgment, sometimes it's slow coming, but it comes. It comes. Sooner or later, you will be held responsible. Verse number 7, back in Jeremiah 36. And it may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house on that fasting day. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem. See, they proclaim that every year on a certain day. They have to proclaim it. Because it varies a little bit, see. So they proclaimed that date. And to all the people that came from the cities of Judah into Jerusalem, under requirement to come to Jerusalem because of those three feasts the nation Israel was required to come to. Then read Baruch in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Jimruhu, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. Okay. And it goes on. Skip down to verse 16. We won't go through the litany of people here from verse 11 to verse 15. They're the same people who were active as servants of the king Josiah, incidentally. So these same priests and people who were active in the administration of Josiah, heard that scroll being read now when Jehoiakim was king. In verse 16 of chapter 36 of Jeremiah, now it came to pass when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Let's talk about inspiration just for a minute. You got to know the definition. See, I can see an inspired sunset. That means that I'm in awe of the sunset. Inspiration of the Word of God doesn't mean I'm in awe at all. It means God breathed. Theopneustos. Pasagrapha theopneustos. That's the Greek words underneath that phrase. That specifically means they're God-breathed words that were given to Jeremiah, which he then gave to his secretary to write down. Inspiration is a process. It is not a product. The product of inspiration is the words written down. No one here has experienced the process. That is God speaking to you by the Holy Spirit God in such a way it forces you to write down Scripture that was forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119:89. So inspiration means specifically a process in which the Bible was recorded. And this is the book of Jeremiah that was being read to these men. Okay, now let's go on a little further. Verse 19, I think we are. Jeremiah 36. Then said the princes unto Baruch, Go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where you be. So, they were ordered to hide because the king, being an evil king, just might kill them because he didn't like the words. Didn't like the words of God. Verse 20, And they went in to the king in the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king, verse 21, So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. So they had read the book in the seventh month. Tishrei is the seventh month. It took them 2 months to get to the king and read it to the king, which is because of procedures and going before the king and all the things that had to be done during that time. But in the ninth month, they read it to the king, and it came to pass that Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves, verse 23, he cut it with the penknife. I had a message once called the penknife, and this is where it came from. So he takes a knife, and he starts cutting as Jehudi reads it. He cuts that part of the scroll, and what does he do with it? And cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire and that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments. My wife can tell you, I do not place anything on the top of my... You see it here. There's nothing on the top of my Bible. I don't allow anybody or anything because of my respect for the words of God. They had no respect. They didn't rent their clothes or cry as the king burned the roll. Portland, Oregon. They have no... They didn't rent their clothes or cry or be ashamed of what they were doing. Verse 25, Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delihah and Jemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. So, Jehoiakim would not hear, it would not obey. That's where we are today. People will not hear the burning of Jeremiah's scroll. Josiah is a king who fulfilled a prophecy of God 326 years after it was made. I put this in this morning to have you understand again Our God is the O-O-O God. You know what that means? He's omnipresent, He's omnipotent, and He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. So I just take the O at the beginning and make Him the O-O-O God. He's all-knowing, all-present, come on, I just gave it to you. Powerful, thank you. See, all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. That's the meaning of why I put that in there. The prophecy that was given to the old prophet, and I hope you know the story of the old prophet in the Old Testament, that came to Rehoboam. How many know who Rehoboam was? You should know. He's the king, the first king of the northern kingdom. And what did he establish? In Bethel, in southern Israel, Ephraim, and Dan in northern North Israel. So between Dan and Bethel, he established a worship. Okay? That's right. It's just like the worship today of people who are liberal worshipers we see in the emerging church. So in Bethel and Dan, Rehoboam made golden calves that they worshiped. It's an apostate religion. Okay? And so what I'm telling you is that the old prophet, as a result of this, God sent an old prophet to Rehoboam, and he was standing by the altar. And the old prophet comes in and he tells him, men are going to have their bones burned on this altar, and this altar is going to be rent right now to confirm what I'm telling you. And then when those bones are burned on this altar, the altar is going to be destroyed. And the name of the king that's going to do that is Josiah. 326 years later, Josiah, the good king, as he repaired the country, tore down the high places, tore down the idols, cleaned out the temple, repaired the temple, reestablished the Passover and all those things that King Josiah did. But he also went to Bethel, where those prophets of Rehoboam that were... You know what Rehoboam did? He took the drunks of northern Israel and made them the priests. They were false priests. And they were buried near that altar. And when it happened, when Josiah came and he saw the sepulchers, he says, "Who's that?" "Well, those are those false priests of Rehoboam." He said, "Dig them up, burn them on that altar, and then tear that altar down." That's the same thing with Cyrus. Do you remember King Cyrus, who released from Babylon the Jews to come back and build the city wall? That was some 100-some years. And he named Cyrus. He named Josiah, 320. He's an O-O-O God. He knows. He knows. He knows your thoughts this morning. He knows who you are. He knows what you're doing in secret. You're not fooling Him. Next week, we're going to talk about something that's very important. People don't understand justification and righteousness as well as they should. And we're going to talk more about that because it's very, very important. These days, people going about to establish their own righteousness. So what is righteousness? What is justification in the eyes of God, not in your eyes? And I think we better talk about that a little more because the days are short. That veil is going to be pulled back. You're going to hear that shout. You're going to hear that trumpet. What a glorious day that will be. I can't wait to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He's beautiful, by the way. He's pure light. You remember when John saw him? How beautiful he was. What a day. Bobby, pray.
Lord, thank you for the